Well, it's good to be with you, and we're here to worship God. And we do that by beginning in Psalm 130 on page 173. Now, the psalmist begins in the depths. Lord, from the depths I call to you. Lord, hear me from on high. Give attention to my voice when I for mercy cry. So that's his position. And he finishes in the heights. So he starts in the depths and finishes in the night. O Israel, put your hope in God, for mercy is with him, and full redemption from their sins. His people he'll redeem. So let's sing that psalm to God's glory.
Lord, from the
Father God, we thank you that we can come in to your holy presence, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God who is seated in the high and lofty place, yet you dwell with those who are lowly in heart. We worship you tonight, Father. We worship you that you are our God. We worship you, Lord, as we sung this morning, that you are the God who has made all things, Lord. That you are the God who has made the moon and the stars. Yet, Lord, you are the God who is mindful of us, Lord. And we worship you for that, that you are mindful of us, Lord. We worship you, Lord, that you hold our lives in your hands. You hold everything in your hands, Lord. And we worship you, Lord, that we are in secured hands this night, Lord. We worship you, Father, that you are our only hope in this life, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have brought that to our experience through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you lived and that you died for our sins and that you rose for our justification. We thank you, Lord, for the abundance of your mercy and your grace and your goodness to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we have all that we need, Lord. that you are altogether lovely, and that you are altogether sufficient, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that no more can be desired than you, and less will not do, Lord. So, Lord, we pray that you would come and inhabit the praise of your people tonight. We pray, Lord, that we would see you clearly tonight, that we would see your majesty, your holiness, your glory, and that we would be struck in awe, Lord. Lord, as we be one looking at a glorious sunset, Lord, how much more glorious are you, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you have brought us here, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you have brought us to this place in our lives, Lord. And our lives, Lord, are just not routine. They're not just going on. But, Lord, you have a purpose and you have a plan. And you have a plan, Lord, for this community, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you have set us here to be part of that plan, Lord. And, Lord, we know that we're faced with difficulties. We're faced with uncertainties, Lord. And, Lord, we're faced with an enemy, Lord, who wants to consume us, Lord. But we thank you, Lord, that you are on the throne, that you rule and that you reign, and that you will bring your plans to fruition, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be still before you and know that you are God, and know your ways in our lives, Lord. Father, I pray for everyone here. I pray for every family here. Pray for James, who is the pastor here, for Colin and Ken and Finlay, who are the elders, Lord. Pray for all who are involved in the Sunday school. We pray for everyone who is here, Lord, because, Lord, we know that each and every one of us has been called by you, and we've been called to serve you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of serving you. Lord, you don't need us, but you ask us to come and to serve you, Lord. So we thank you for that this night, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for your light to shine out from this fellowship, Lord, from this corner of your vineyard, and to shine out into this community, Lord. Because, Lord, we know this community, like every community, is in desperate need of Christ, in desperate need of Calvary, in desperate need, Lord, of your love and your mercy and your forgiveness. So, Lord, we pray that you'd pour out your Spirit upon this community and pour out your Spirit upon this church in this community. And, Lord, we pray that we would see life coming to this dry and thirsty land, Lord. We thank you for the work that you're doing here, Lord. We thank you for the witness in this community, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, as men and women and young people begin this new year, Lord, we pray, Lord, that they would look beyond themselves, beyond their securities, Lord, beyond their work, and beyond everything to you, Lord. Because you are the only one, Lord, that can give us hope in this year. And you're the only one that can give eternal hope. You are the only one that can give hope in the difficulties of life, in the trials of life. You're the only one, Lord, that can help us to look up rather than look down. So help us to look up this night, Lord. And we pray that this community will be able in this year to look up and to fix its eyes upon Jesus. And we pray for all in this community, Lord, who are struggling at this time, for all who are facing uncertain times, for all who have just been overwhelmed by the cares of this world, Lord. We pray for them, Father. And we pray, Father, that you will break in to their lives and break into their experience, Lord, and that they may see you, Lord. Father, we ask, Lord, for your blessing to be upon the church. We ask for your blessing, Lord, to be upon the work of the church. We ask your blessing to be on mission, Lord. And we ask, Lord, for you to be with all who serve you. We pray, Lord, for our youth worker. We pray for Timmy and his family. And we pray, Lord, for Lord, as he prepares to bring a team of young people to Uganda with him. We pray that your blessing and your richness would be upon that, Lord. Father, we pray for our young people, Lord. And we pray for the pouring of your Spirit to be upon them, Lord. We pray for this generation, Lord. And we pray, Father, that you would bring this generation to yourself. And in doing so, Father, that this generation would be the missionaries who will bring the older generation back to yourself, Lord. Father, we pray and ask for your plans and purposes to be filled in this community, Lord. Father, we ask, because, Lord, we desire to see revival. We desire, Lord, to see the name of Jesus being glorified and being magnified. Lord, we ask, Lord, we think about salvation, but it is your name, Lord, that we want to be see exalted. Because, Lord, you are the God who rules and reigns over everything. Yet, Lord, you are compassionate and you are gracious and you are holy, Lord. And, Lord, we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what Scripture tells us, Lord, and that we come to a God who we know as Father. We come to a God who helps and who leads, and to a God that cares. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you for James's message this morning that showed that you are the one that cares, and we can cast our cares upon you because you care about us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God that says, I have seen the suffering of my people. And I thank you, Lord, that you see the suffering of your people, Lord. Whether it is personal suffering here, Lord, or whether it is suffering on a vast scale across this world, Lord, that you are the God that sees, and you're the God that hears, and you hear the cry of your people, and you're the God that came down to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, we worship you. Who do we have in heaven but you, Lord? We pray, Father, tonight that you will come down and bring us up into your presence this night. And we pray, Father, that we can see you tonight and that we will hear you tonight. And Lord, that we will be overwhelmed in your presence. Thank you, Father, for your great love. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have this night. And we thank you, Lord, for each other. Bless us, we pray. Have mercy upon us and forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. My glasses are not very good, so they're not... They're not my prescription ones, so hopefully bear with me, please. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, the son of the Mennonites, came to make war in Jehoshaphat. And told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom on the other side of the sea. It's already at Hazom Tamar, that is in En-Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek the help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord and in front of the new courtyard and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hands, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword or judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and I will cry out to you in distress, and you will hear and save. Hear us and save us. But now here are the men from Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they have turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face the vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon the Lord. All the men of Judah and their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jezreel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaniah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, the Levi, the descendants of Asaph, and he stood in the assembly. He said to the king, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing in the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jerel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord will give you on. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship the Lord, to worship the Lord. Then the sons of Levi, of Kohathite and Korahite, stood up and praised the Lord and God, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning they left for the desert of Kehoa, and they set out. Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah, the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in the prophets, in his prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they had finished slaughtering the men of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked towards the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them great amount of equipment and clothing, and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, the assembly in the valley of Barak, where they had praised the Lord. This is why it is called the valley of Barak to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat and all the men of Judah and Jerusalem, returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went into the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets. The fear of God came upon the kingdom of the countries when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Amen. And this is the word of God. And we give him thanks for it. And we pray that he'll add his blessing to it as we meditate upon it. Let's turn again and sing from Psalm 145. And that's on page 189. 145, verses 1 to 7. I will exalt you, O my God and King, forever. I will praise your holy name. I will extol your name forevermore, day after day, your praise I will proclaim. So let's sing that from verse 1 down to the end of verse 7 to God's praise. Prayer before we turn to the Word of God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this Word that we have before us this night. Thank you that this is your Word, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that we will come under its authority. And Lord, we pray that you will guide us and direct us. And I pray, Lord, that I shall decrease as you increase, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would give me strength to proclaim the richness of your word. And we pray this to the glory of your name. Amen. I just begin by reading a few verses from the beginning of chapter 20. After this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and some of the Menomites came to make war with Jehoshaphat. In 1929, shares began to fall on Wall Street. Prices were beginning to slump, and it caused great distress. You'll be familiar with Black Tuesday and Black Thursday. And this caused people to lose confidence in the banking system. Shares continued to fall, and this was known as the Wall Street Crash, or the Great Crash, which began in New York in America and sent America into the Great Depression. But this sent the whole world into the Great Depression, which would last for 10 years until 1939. It would be the beginning of the Second World War that would end the Great Depression. Another black period in our history. The world would come out of depression and go into war. Now, how did this happen? The 1920s are known as the boom years. Great prosperity in the whole of the United States. Great richness. The country was prosperous. The country was thriving after the darkness of the First World War. From darkness to prosperity. And then came the crash. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 has a little ring of that in it here. This is a wonderful chapter, but there's just far too much in it for me to even begin to bring even a fraction of its wealth. It's a wonderful chapter. It speaks about Jehoshaphat, who was a godly king, one of the few kings that were in Judah that was godly. He was a godly king, but he wasn't a perfect king. We read in chapter 17 or 18 that he allied himself with Ahab, one of the most evil men in history. And we read in chapter 18 that the Lord rebuked him for it because he had aligned himself with an evil king. And we are to love righteousness and hate wickedness. But he aligned himself with a wicked king. But he was a godly man. He wasn't perfect. And after that period of darkness, he began to reform a lot of stuff in the land. You know what I mean? Although he had that time of darkness, he would go out to the people and bring them back to the Lord, it says. So there was a time of like spiritual prosperity. He would go out and bring them back to the Lord. Here was the king going out to speak to the subjects. Does that remind you of another king in the New Testament? He set up a godly judicial system and a godly religious system. We look at the world that we're in today, and in many of the nations at that time, there wasn't a godly judicial system. There wasn't a godly religion. And sadly, in our own country, there's not a godly judicial system. And much of the religion is not godly. But Jehoshaphat brought this. And it was a time of spiritual boom and prosperity. There was godliness in the nation. And it was during this time of godliness that we read in verses 1 of chapter 20. After that, the Moabites and the Ammonites, with some of the Mennonites, came to make war with Jehoshaphat. It's during that time of prosperity that a problem came. And often it's during, we can get problems in our lives because of bad choices. We can get problems in our lives because of sin. But we can also get problems in our lives because we're living in a problematic world. A and God is hated in it. And we're living in a fallen world, and through that comes difficulties and problems. Jesus said that. In this world you will have many troubles. So we see this problem coming upon Jehoshaphat and upon Judah. It's an alliance of evil, like the United States used to call them, Iran, North Korea, and who was the other one? I can't remember. The Axis of Evil. This was an axis of evil. We're told it was a vast army. And the pace of this problem was frightening. Because it says, some men came, told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom and the other side of the sea. It's already at Hazam Tamar, that is in Gedi. Alarm, Jehoshaphat resolved to the choir of the Lord. The pace, it's not a long way away. It's upon them. And the pace of the problem is upon them. Now, like you say, the problem came at a time of peace and prosperity. They run into a problem, or the problem's running into them. How often does that happen in our lives? Circumstances. We run into a problem, or the problem runs into us. The pace of the problem, it's near, it's relentless. And this problem doesn't care about Jehoshaphat or Judah. Doesn't care about families or friends. How often do we feel that? That we run into a problem and it doesn't care what happens. It's just relentless. So he's perturbed. He says that alarmed, he resolved to inquire of the Lord. Now in other translations it says he's afraid. He's anxious, and he resolves to inquire of the Lord. That's a great place to be in when we're afraid. James is preaching this morning, and the disciples have been afraid, and how they treated the Lord. Fear comes into our lives. We all get afraid. It's what we do with that fear. He resolved to inquire of the Lord. What do we do with prayer? The fear brings the king and the nation to seek God, to inquire, to seek, to fast. The nation is going to humble itself before God. The king is going to humble himself before God. The king is showing reliance upon God to his subjects. And that's what fear is. Fear shows us that problems show us that we're not in control. And that's where a lot of anxiety and fear comes from, that we're not in control. I often think of people who are flying. My sister's a nightmare to be on a plane with. And I think the fear of flying comes from the fact that you're not in control. You're 35,000 feet up. In a tin can. You're not in control. But if we really knew that we're not really in control of anything in this life, we would be constantly afraid. So fear is the vehicle that drives Jehoshaphat to what he knows of God and his faith in God. Fear can be the vehicle that drives us into reverse. But here, Jehoshaphat knows that he has nothing, and he's afraid, he's alarmed, but he's not going to live under that. Because if you live under fear, and I know that for myself, if you live in fear of the circumstances that you're in, and it's very, very easy to say that, don't be afraid. But if you live in fear of the circumstances that you're in, it will paralyze you. It will enslave you. It will control you. It will distort and it will disturb our decisions, our friendships, our eating and sleeping habits. That's what fear does. Fear paralyzes. Fear is to drive us to God, not to drive us to scenarios that might never happen. It's to take us to God. When there is things in our life that are too big, like financial problems, like ill health, like unexpected death, grief and sorrow. These are great things that cause fear in us. But God is greater than that. And Jehoshaphat, although he was alarmed, he has the fear of the Lord. And with the fear of the Lord, in any of God's people comes wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of circumstances is chaos. The fear of circumstances brings us into chaos. It's wisdom. What am I going to do? There's a vast army coming. I'll inquire. I resolve to inquire of the Lord. If that is not what we do, then we resolve to require of other things. We look to other things to numb the fear or to help us in that fear. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we see Jehoshaphat inquiring of the Lord. The fear of the Lord brings confidence that God is in control. No matter what the difficulty is, God is in control. See, we might have a problem in our lives. God knows our problem. God will deal with our problem. God will probably deliver us from our problem. God might take us through the problem. God will give us grace in the problem because he's bigger than the problem. But as I heard one person saying, often God may delay the deliverance because there's a problem in here that he wants to deal with first. And when he deals with that, if that's not dealt with, the next time a problem comes, that problem will surface. Godly fear brings us to God. And it brings Jehoshaphat to pray. And sometimes we don't always get to where Jehoshaphat is. That is a tremendous place he's in. He's received this news, this vast army, this axis of evil. He's massively outnumbered. And they're coming to murder, they're coming to rape, they're coming to destroy. That would start panic in our hearts. But what does he do? He calls a fast. They're humbling themselves before God. And then he goes and he prays. Prayer. And we think of prayer. I know that in my life, in times of crisis, I pray about the crisis. And that's right, we should pray about the crisis. But often we focus on the problem and not on God. But what Jehoshaphat does here, he focuses on God. Praise will bring us into the overwhelming glory of God. It will bring us into confidence and not fear. When we focus on the problem and on ourselves, panic. But when you go into the presence of God and you look up and you start to praise him, even if you don't feel like it, it's a discipline. and you worship God, it brings perspective. It brings perspective. You see the greatness of God. You see the majesty of God. And this is what Jehoshaphat is doing. He's praising God. And he begins his prayer with, O Lord of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hands, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel and give it forever to your descendants, to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? Wow, what a prayer. Yeah. The God of our fathers, the God of our ancestors. Are you not the God that is in heaven? This gives perspective of who we're speaking to. He is the God in heaven. Jesus says, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Are you not the God of our fathers, the God of our ancestors? Are you not the God that gave this land to the ancestors, to the descendants of Abraham? Are you not the covenant God that made a promise to Abraham? Are you not the God that gave? So he's looking at the past blessings, and that's what we need to do. We need to see God and how he dealt with our lives in the past. And then he looks at the present, that God is in heaven, that the Lord God is the eternal God. He is our Father in heaven. You are the King over all the nations. Wow. He's not a local God. He's King. He's not a finite King. He's the eternal King. And he rules. This is who you're talking to. Your kingdom come, Jesus said. He is King. We're not talking to some person. We're talking to God. We're talking to Almighty God. And he is King over all. You rule over the kingdoms of this world. Power and might is in your hands. And who can stand against you? An invading army. A godless army. Some huge problem is coming. You might have had the experience of that in your life. A problem has come. You might be in a problem. It's overwhelming. The circumstances are overwhelming. It's overwhelming your resources. It's outnumbering you. You don't have the strength. You don't have the power. But power and might. God is the God of power and might. All power is in the hands of God. All power is in the hands of Christ, who was nailed, whose hands were nailed to the cross. Not in the generals. Not in these armies, not in what's pursuing us, not what's trying to overwhelm us, but it's in God's hands. And this gives us perspective. That in the presence, he's in the presence of God. He looks to the justice of God. He looks to, and he reminds God that when they came out of Egypt and God told them to leave these lands, to bypass them, and to leave the inhabitants. When Israel came out, now he reminds God, these people are coming to kill us, and you told us to leave. He's reminding God of his own justice and their obedience to him. That God is a God of justice. And in the presence, they are in the presence of God. He is in the presence of God. And he's appealing to God. He's asking God. He's not telling God. He is speaking to God. He's reminding God of who he is. He's reminding God of his goodness, of their obedience to his word. And now here comes a godless people to destroy them. And we can remind God of his problem, of his promises to us. When the Ammonites, when the enemies of this world come to us, when the Moabites, when struggles come, when illness comes, we can remind God and we can call out to God. See, Jehoshaphat appeals to the mercy of God, to the justice of God. He reminds God unto the judgment and the deliverance of God. See, when we're speaking to God, it'd be quite easy to demand judgment and to demand things on people that have hurt us or violated us in some way. But Jehoshaphat's not doing that. He's asking God to do his judgment, because God's judgment is a righteous and holy judgment. We could demand for things to be removed. We could remind for our enemies to be removed. And there's nothing wrong with asking God to take things away from us that are overwhelming us. But we need to ask God and his will to be done in our lives. As we cry out to him and we call on him and we ask for his help. Say, if somebody has hurt us, it's quite easy to ask in our hearts that judgment and vengeance be brought on them. But the judgments of God are righteous and they are holy. We appeal to his power. We have no power, Jehoshaphat said. And this vast army is upon us. Our eyes are upon you. That's what we need to realize, that we have no power. No matter how great our resources are, we have no power. All power is in God's hands. And Jehoshaphat has recognized that. And he says, our eyes are upon you. And he says that all the children of this and the families came out. And before he brought them out, all the men of Judah and their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Has there been a time in your life when you bring all these precious people before the Lord, and you know that there's nothing in some circumstances that you can do, and you bring them out and you say, all power is in your hands, and I can't do this. There's this vast problem. It's overwhelming me, and I have no power to change it. And I'm sure that's been our experiences, that we have no power to change it. And often there's no hope. But there's hope and there's power when you fix your eyes on God. Power is in your hands. Our eyes are upon you. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. For the joy set before him endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of him on the throne. What are you going through today? Fix your eyes on Jesus. And when your eyes are fixed on God and not on the problem, when you know your own limitations, when you know that you are finite but he is infinite, and when you know that he loves you and cares for you, and that he came down to us in the person of Jesus Christ and became like us in every way, yet without sin, who endured everything we endured and who endured what we will never endure. This is love. This is the God who loves. So whatever your problem is today, look to God. Because provision will come. Provision will come. Verses 14 to 29 tell us what God is doing. He sends the prophet to say, do not be afraid. I am here. God is here. The battle is the Lord's. You will not have to fight. Are you burdened today? Are you heavy laden? Give the battle, give the fight to Jesus. Matthew 11:28. Cast your burden on him today. Come and listen to him. Come watch. Take up your position, as the Lord told them, to take up their position. And deliverance will come. God will deal with our problems. God will deal with the problem of our hearts. We are called to praise. The people were called to go out and praise and sing and worship God. That's what they were told to do. Go out. And God goes out and delivers them from this vast army. He causes confusion. The army implodes upon itself. And God brings deliverance. This is the God whom we worship. This is the God of peace. This is the God that is to be praised. And we see that when God does something, whether it is in our lives as an individual or collectively or in a nation, whatever, that the fear of God, it says, came on the nations around them. When God is doing something, be assured that there will be people, and we pray that many would see it, that the fear of the Lord will come on those who are around us in our families, who are around us in the church, who are around us in the community, who are around us in the workplace, that the fear of the Lord will come upon them. The fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord shows us and shows the unconverted man and woman their need of God. Their need of God. And that's what we pray for. And we read that there was peace in the land. There is peace. Now, I don't know what your problem or your crisis is. And you say, well, but DJ, God hasn't taken away my problem, my crisis. He didn't take away my problems, my crisis. But he gave me peace in the midst of it. And he delivered me from fear. Come to our Father, our Lord and Saviour. Praise and worship him. Regardless of what our problem is. Now that's very easy to say. Regardless of what your problem is. That might be very difficult in the face of uncertainties. That's very, very difficult in the face of whether it's financial, whether it's your health, whether it's grief. It's very difficult to say, don't be afraid. But that's what he says, fear not, do not be afraid. Because as we come to him and we rest in him, we have peace. Now we can go to him in panic and have a panic prayer and come away and we're panicking all day. Or we can come to him and rest in him, knowing as we come to him and as we focus on him, if we focus on Jesus and we focus on God our Father, the problems that we face shrink. They shrink. Not that they're gone away, not that they're not important, but the glory of God overwhelms us. And the greatness of God overwhelms us. Praise and worship him, because praise and worship brings perspective. And we see who God is. That he's King. That he's in heaven. He's your Father in heaven. That Jesus is your King. And that all power is in God's hands for whatever you're facing. And that the word is full of promises for you. He gives you promises. And he will give provision. And he will give peace. Stay close to God. I say this to myself. He knows my problems. He knows your problem. He will deal with them. He will deliver you. He will give you grace. When we view God like this, when we see him like this, our hearts can have peace. We can come away from him with no peace. But as we look at his greatness, as the focus is on God, Jehoshaphat focused on God. And that's what we need to do. We need to focus on God. Because God knows the problem and God loves you. God cares about you. He cares about what you are going through. He cares about you. So focus on him. And he will give you the strength to go through this day. May God bless these thoughts to us. I want to finish by singing a hymn. Do I have it here, Colin? What number is it? 755. It's my favourite hymn, 755. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. When we focus on the cross and the glory of God, it just brings peace to our hearts. 7, what you say was called?
755.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gains I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. So let's sing that to his glory.
Yeah.
Lord, we thank you for your love and your care. We thank you, Lord, for your understanding of our lives and the circumstances that we face. Lord, we pray that we will look to you today and just remain in your presence, Lord. We pray now for your grace and your love and your fellowship to go with each and every one of us, now and forevermore.